live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 19th day of May, 2021. And I'm thrilled to have a day of music here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are going to be addressing music that glorifies God. And in order to do that, we have provided for your blessing, I'm sure, the musical gifts of both Bob Kauflin, director of Sovereign Grace Music, who is our guest during the first hour, and then also in the second half of our program, the Photo Sisters. And we're also going to be announcing the G3 Conference 2021. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Bob Kauflin.
It's a joy to be here, Chris. Thanks so much. That music was quite spectacular at the opening of the show.
I appreciate that. In fact, a Canadian Christian rock band created that opening piece specifically for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and also provided the Canadian announcer, which is why they pronounced Iron for Iron Sharpens Iron. And I've had people ask me about that from the United States who didn't know that that's how Canadians pronounce Iron.
That is great. Well, got things off to a good start, I think.
Yeah, amen. And tell us about Sovereign Grace Music, please.
Well, we've been around since the mid-80s, and our mission statement is we are seeking to produce songs and training, Christ-exalting songs and training for local churches from local churches. And we produce albums, we run conferences, and I've been over in this position for about, 20-plus years.
Well, praise God. And as the name indicates, Sovereign Grace Music, I'm assuming you and those that are involved in the music are believers in the doctrines of Sovereign Grace.
We are indeed. Yeah, we're part of a family of churches, the Sovereign Grace churches. And yeah, we love the doctrines of grace and thank God for His greatness and His glory and His goodness. And yeah, our music reflects that.
Yeah, I first became familiar with Sovereign Grace Music years ago when I was invited to a conference on the New Jersey shore that was being run by my dear friend, Pastor Ed Moore of North Shore Baptist Church of Bayside, Queens.
Oh, man!
Oh, you know Ed.
I know Ed, sure!
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, during the entire conference, they were exclusively using the music of Sovereign Grace Music as the praise music. And I can't remember right now who the speaker was, but it was somebody connected with Sovereign Grace Ministries.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, Ed and I go back quite a bit. He came to one of our conferences, a number of our conferences, and I think the Lord used that interaction to focus in his heart the significance of the gospel. I think the Lord was doing a number of things in his life, but we had a number of interactions about the significance of what Jesus did for us through his cross and resurrection.
Amen. Well, I'm going to play a song by Sovereign Grace Music. and to whet the appetites of those listening, perhaps giving them even more enthusiasm and interest in attending the G3 conference coming up in Atlanta, Georgia, September 30th through October 2nd. As I said during the announcements, you will be providing some of that music, that worship music there. And so will the Photo Sisters, our second and third guests, I guess you could say, during the second hour. Before I play the song, what can you tell me about Lord My Rock and My Redeemer?
It's written by a good friend of mine, Nate Stiff, and he actually sent it to me a number of years ago. I said, Nate, this is a great song, based on the last verse of Psalm 19. May my meditation of my heart, words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And he wanted to tease that out, kind of expand upon that. He sent it to me, and I said, those are great words. I think maybe the melody could be different. So he worked on it and came up with a tune that really, it stays with you. This song has served, I think, a lot of people in that it's partially a lament psalm. It talks about some of the difficult things we go through, but how Jesus is meant to be our rock and our refuge, our redeemer and our savior through everything that we go through. It's a song that has ministered to me a number of times.
Amen. Well, here it is, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Hallelujah. What a beautiful song.
Amen.
Tell us about the other individuals that are involved in creating this beautiful music.
Well, a lot of them are from my church here in Louisville, Sovereign Grace Church of Louisville. And then the girl who sang is from a Sovereign Grace Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, Lisa Clow. David Zimmer, the drummer, is now here at the time of that recording a few years ago, 2017, I think. He was in California, but they've moved here. He and his family moved here and actually lived with us for a year, and then bought a house about a year ago. And, yeah, so others that we've known either through Sovereign Grace Music or just are part of the church here. Yeah, it's a changing roster, but a lot of times it's the people in the church here and then people who have been on previous recordings.
Well, praise God. Why don't you tell us, as we have a tradition here, I'm not sure I even told you this before the show. We have a tradition here where whenever we have a first-time guest, we ask that guest to provide a summary of their salvation testimony, including the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, the providential experiences our Sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you, and how you discovered the doctrines of grace as well.
I would be very happy to tell that story. I was raised Roman Catholic. And I was a good Roman Catholic. I loved it. I had planned to become a priest. And when I was,
wow, you loved it more than I did.
More than a lot of my friends did. Although I was never an altar boy, I did want to become a priest. And when I was a freshman in high school, so the 14, 15 years old, I went to a junior seminary in Chesterfield, Missouri. But then it shut down at the end of that year due to lack of enrollment. So I interpret that as God saying, I'm not supposed to be a priest. So I went to public high school for the next 3 years, very much into my Catholic faith, and then went to Temple University to study piano, 1972. And there was a guy, I don't even know his name, who knocked on my door and said, hey, I'd love to have a chat with you about, you know, Christianity. And he was from Campus Crusade for Christ, which is not CRU. And I kind of put him off. I said, hey, I'm a Catholic Christian. I'm good. Good to go. And he was persistent. So I finally agreed to meet with him in the Student Union building. And all I remember, Chris, is these few details. He took me to Romans. Somehow he got me in Romans. I was reading my Bible. I had the Good News for Modern Man, a little New Testament. And I read that faithfully. But he took me to Romans and showed me the wages, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And, he said, do you believe that you've sinned? I said, oh yeah. Yeah, I'm not perfect. I mean, I know. So he said, well, took me over to Romans 6:23. You know, the wages of sin is death. Do you believe that, you know, God has to punish you for your sins and that punishment is death? I said, well, yeah, but if I get to confession, I'll be okay. And he said, well, it's not quite like that. And he went on to read the rest of the verse. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he gave me a pencil. And he said, that pencil is my gift to you. I said, okay. He said, did you do anything to earn that gift? He said, no. Did you do anything to deserve that gift? I said, no. So, well, am I going to take that gift back? He said, no. So, well, that is what eternal life is like. And in that moment, God opened my eyes to see that salvation was not something I could earn, not something I deserved, not something that God would ever take back, but a free gift purchased through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I remember walking away from that encounter thinking, wow, if I missed that in the Bible, what else have I missed? And that began, that was next year, it'll be 50 years ago. And it began this wonderful journey of knowing my Lord and Savior, knowing the God who created and redeemed me. And so the doctrines of grace, I don't know. I think from early on, I believe God was sovereign in my my salvation, because I sure wasn't looking for him. I thought I knew him. And so I'd read verses like, "You've been chosen to him before the foundation of the earth to be holy and blameless in his sight." I just thought, okay. I'm not going to argue with that. Of course I was chosen. I didn't choose him. He must have chosen me, kind of like Spurgeon would say. Sovereign Grace, I think, is a family of churches. We're about 40 years old, but during the 90s, CJ, who was leading the ministry at the time, started reading Puritans and just sharing about the doctrine of sin and the doctrine of grace, and I think it became more solidified in my thinking. Of course, reading John Piper in the early 90s, Desiring God. Although I must say, when I first read Desiring God, it didn't compute. It was hard for me to think that God was most glorified in us when we were most satisfied in him, because I had been raised on this mindset that if it was going to please God, it had to be hard and difficult and something I didn't want to do. And, of course, God asks us, or, you know, tells us to do things we don't want to do, but that's not the end of sanctification, just doing things we don't want to do. We see the superior treasure of Jesus, and we find sacrifice as a joy because we have a greater treasure in him, and certainly an eternal, far surpassing glory awaiting us. So it's been a wonderful journey, and I just get more excited to see him face to face.
Amen. And what is the philosophy that you have of Christian music? There is obviously different approaches and different philosophies to Christian music that are out there, and perhaps many involved in Christian music don't even have a pre-thought, pre-planned philosophy. Sometimes that shows. but one of the things I could tell you that I appreciate greatly about the Sovereign Grace music is that it is extremely conducive to congregational worship, as opposed to entertainment, as opposed to passive spectator worship, where you're just observing, listening, enjoying. It is conducive to drawing you in to want to join in with the music and sing along with it. But if you could, in your own words, tell us a philosophy that you may have.
Well, that is wonderful. That's very encouraging to hear. And I assume you're talking about music for the church, music in the church. We're not just talking about Christian music in general.
Right.
Yeah. I think the verse that has been most pervasive in my thinking has been Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." That contains so much. I've looked at that verse so many times. When we sing, it's the word of Christ that's meant to dwell on us richly. So not musical experiences, not visuals, not technology, not guitar riffs, not vocal skills. It's the word of Christ. So when we write songs, or when we choose songs to sing, we want to be careful to choose songs that are going to enable that to happen in people. So there are various ways of it not happening. For instance, when the music is too loud and people can't hear themselves sing, it's harder to have the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
In fact, that could even be with classical music. I have been in very traditional Reformed churches that have had brass bands and hymnody and psalmody, and I have not been able to hear my own voice because that might be a blessing to everybody, but but totally drowned out by the musical instruments.
Yes, yeah, and the points that I've sought to arrive at aren't related to a particular style of music. They're timeless and they're transcultural. I've spent time in different cultures and realized that if what I'm how I'm thinking about music in the church doesn't translate to another culture, maybe it's not that biblical. Maybe it's more of a preference. So that would be one of the things. Another way word of Christ might not dwell in us richly is if we're not really singing about the word of Christ. You know, the word of Christ is the gospel. It's about who Jesus is and what he's done. And it doesn't mean that every song has to contain, you know, substitutionary atonement in it, the whole gospel story. But that's what the music is supposed to point to. And if our songs don't point to that, if our songs are comprised mostly of ways we feel about God, things we want to say to God about how we think about him and how we feel, well, that's appropriate at times. Certainly the Psalms contain those kinds of expressions, but that's not going to be the substance of what we sing. It's the word of Christ. It's who he is, what he actually did, what it actually accomplished. So if that's not in our songs, then the word of Christ is not going to be able to dwell in people richly. Now, here's another dynamic that people may not think of. On the one hand, you can sing songs that are too simple. They don't say enough. But I think the case can be made for the fact that at times we can try to say too much, and it's kind of like putting a log on a fire that's just getting started. That fire will go out. If you don't give people the opportunity to think about and engage with the words they're singing, it can land on deaf ears. People can sing words they're not really thinking about, and that's not the word of Christ dwelling in them ritually either. So we try to write songs, and we don't always succeed, but we try to write songs that, into song-based music, that give you enough time, first give you enough content to think about, and then give you enough time to think about it. So if that's my philosophy of music in the church, and I just had one thing, and that is God says more about singing than he does about playing. So ideally, when you're in a church context, what the instruments are going to be doing is supporting and encouraging and provoking faith-filled song from the hearts of God's redeemed people for the glory of Christ by the power of the Spirit. That's what's supposed to be happening. It's not a talent show. It's not a gig for frustrated musicians who can't find a job on Saturday nights. It is a time for instrumentalists to say, I want to use all my skills to serve the singing of these words so that the word of Christ might dwell in people richly. So we provide times of, you know, just the church singing, just the people singing. The band cuts out for a verse or a chorus, and we just let them hear their voices because it's so beautiful and it's so compelling to hear God's people lift their hearts and voices together.
Amen. I'm going to play another song before we go to our first station break. I want to pray all praise to him. Anything, I mean, it's a very self-explanatory, the title, but anything you'd like to say, you set it up at all?
Yeah, I wrote this with my friend Matt Merker. I think we had based it on a hymn. I can't remember which one. Matt Merker has written He Will Hold Me Fast. Some people might be familiar with that, and a number of other beautiful songs. He had started it. I said, hey, can I help you with that? And we wanted to have a song. It's from the same album that the previous song was from, Prayers of the Saints. We wanted to have a song, kind of a call to worship, that was triune. So it talks about Father, Son, and Spirit. And, I think that sets it up.
Okay, we're going to bless you all with all praise to him, and we're going to immediately segue into a commercial break. If you have questions for our guest today, please send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, let's say you disagree with your own pastors about the music in your own church, or maybe you're even a pastor, you disagree with your fellow elders or your denomination, whatever the case is that would compel you to remain anonymous, we understand. But please, if it's just a general question for Bob Kauflin of Sovereign Grace Music, please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. We'll be right back after these messages.
that sing his fame in skies afar. Oh, praise to him who reigns in love, who guides the galaxies above, yet bends to hear our every prayer with sovereign power and tender.
Mega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
And I hope to see you there at the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference in Denton, Texas. I will be manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there. That is June 11th and 12th in Denton, Texas. And the website, again, is wokenessandgospel.org, wokenessandgospel.org. I'll also be at the G3 conference that you heard earlier, where Bob Kauflin, our guest today, will be providing music along with the Photo Sisters. And we hope that you join us there at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, September 30th through October 2nd. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. You know, listening to that last song, Bob, I was reminded how much I love Celtic music. And I don't know, I don't even know if that was a thought in your head when you arranged that song, but it surely, to me, to my ear, was very reminiscent of that. Am I off base, on base?
Well, if we added a penny whistle, it would be a lot more Celtic. But it could be, yeah, it's that 3-4 hymn feel is often used in Celtic music.
Yeah, there's almost a militaristic sound to it as well.
Yeah, and that was my son singing, and he's going to be helping, actually, I'm going to be helping him. We're going to lead together at the G3 conference.
Oh, cool. And that would be Devin?
Yes, that's Devin, right. I have two sons. One's Devin, one's Jordan.
Well, I'm going to play another song, Great God, and, oh, Great God, I'm sorry. Any background information we should know about that song?
Yeah, this came from an album we did back in 2006 called The Valley of Vision, based on Arthur Bennett's prayer book, The Valley of Vision.
Yeah, we actually just did a two-hour tribute recently on The Valley of Vision, published by Banner of Truth.
Outstanding.
My guest was Roger Salter, who has been thoroughly blessed beyond description by that book, and he spent 2 hours going through why it is such a great blessing to him and will be to most people. If you are indeed regenerate, there's no reason on earth it wouldn't be an enormous blessing to you. And Roger's a very conservative, thoroughly Calvinistic, low church Anglican. He was just fascinating paying tribute. But I digress. I'm sorry. You could pick up where
Well, that's all right. My copy is sitting right here, and it's taped. It's a paperback, and it's underlined, and I used it for years in my devotions. It's selections that Arthur Bennett put together from Puritans. He really edited it. You know, it's not, you just can't go and find these, most of these, some places. He put a lot of things, different things together, and they were so good at being able to express our sinfulness and the mercy of Christ and the glory of God. And it takes you deep into your own heart and into the heart of God. So this was, I can't remember the song, it was prayer it was based on, but it came out of that. I was playing it in my devotions one day, and this song came out as a result.
Great. Well, here it is, folks. Oh, Great God.
Great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme. Conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me, make me yours forevermore. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me. Through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope. Help me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. Oh, great God of high, glorify your name through me. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and
Hallelujah. What a beautiful, beautiful song.
Amen. The prayer is called Regeneration. Just looked it up.
Great. We do have an anonymous listener, and the anonymous listener says, you were talking before about music in the church and that it should not be some kind of a talent show. I have noticed in the church where I am a member that sometimes people volunteer to provide music that have absolutely no talent at all, and they are given free rein to perform during worship services. Don't you think it is our duty as Christians to be honest and yet loving and tender and patient with people like this that do not have talent, to somehow let them know that they do not have the gifts that they think they possess? It is really disruptive, in my opinion, to the service, and it robs you of the worship experience hearing someone with a totally horrible voice and no musical skills whatsoever. And that is typically drowned out as far as the voice is concerned when the whole congregation is singing together. There's something almost miraculous about how a group of people, especially a large congregation, when singing, sounds so beautiful, even though that many people, if not most of them, have no training in singing. But when somebody is up on a stage, either alone or in a duet or a trio or a family, it is very noticeable if they do not possess talent. What is your opinion on this?
That is a great question. Well, certainly patience is required in all these situations. We want to approach people lovingly and humbly. And sometimes it's good. It's always good to pray if there's a potential conflict pending. I'd say there's a minimum standard for musicians in the church, and that is that they not be distracting. Now, that's a subjective standard, but I mean a vocalist who sings loud and is out of tune, that would be distracting. A drummer who can't keep time, that would be distracting. A guitar player who is always playing wrong chords, that would be distracting. Or a piano player who's always playing wrong notes, that would be distracting. Yeah, those kinds of people should not lead a congregation in singing. Now, if you're in a small church, that maybe the only person you have, and so you exercise patience. But what shouldn't happen is a situation where someone who clearly is not qualified to lead the church in singing has never been talked to about it. Because then we just kind of promote this sense that, well, because I want to serve in this way, I can. And that's not how God distributes his gifts. You know, when the gifts are distributed, they're meant to edify the body of Christ. Paul says, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14, five times, he talks about the building up of the church. And that's what the gifts are supposed to do. And music is a type of gift. It can be a gift of encouragement. If used with words, it can be a gift of teaching. But if that gift is not being used in a way that edifies, then something should be said. And if it's not the person in the church, maybe they could talk to a pastor and ask for their perspective. You know, it's good not to go with this, list of demands, but rather with questions and just say, would you agree with this perspective? I'm not sure. And then see what happens from there.
Yes, and you're really not doing anybody a favor by bolstering a false impression of themselves.
Yes.
Where they are going around thinking that they do have talent because they've been encouraged by family, friends, loved ones, and congregation members. And in the meantime, they're constantly, repeatedly, over and over and over again, going places and making fools of themselves. They're embarrassing themselves. And, I know that the old saying is true about God loving the crow as much as he loves the sound of, I can't even remember the bird that's used in that analogy. The bird with a beautiful...
The robin.
Oh, yeah, right. But that is in reference, I believe, to congregational worship, because even somebody with no gifts at all, with a horrible voice, is still, I believe, commanded to sing in corporate worship.
Yeah.
So You know, it goes with anything in life. If you see somebody spending or dedicating a lot of time doing something that they think that they're very good at, and people are basically lying to them and saying, "Yeah, you're great," it's really sin, because you're being deceitful.
Yeah,
and you're also setting that person up for a much more embarrassing failure in the future, where people in larger numbers are going to be honest about it.
Yes, and we're just not fulfilling what God's intentions are for the gifts he gives. We're putting people's preferences, people's desires, people, even people's ambitions ahead of caring for Christ's church. And while God does hear, you know, all our offerings through Jesus, 1 Peter 2 talks about how our offerings have been made acceptable through Jesus Christ, we hear what others are doing. We have to see it horizontally. And so what I do affects others. And if what I'm doing isn't building them up, then Paul says, God says, don't do it.
Well, I would like you, since we are nearly out of time and we have to go to our midway break and conclude this interview, I'd like you to summarize in just a few minutes uninterrupted what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today when it comes to music that glorifies God.
That's a great question. I've repeated a phrase quite a bit over the last few years, and it's that music is great, Jesus is greater. And what I mean by that should be obvious, but I'll unpack it a little bit. You know, God has given us the gift of music to encourage us, to bless us. Music is pleasant. Psalm 147, I think, says a song of praise is fitting, and it's beautiful, but nothing is as beautiful as the Savior himself. And all our music can do, the best our music can do, is point to the glory and the beauty and the greatness and the majesty of God as he's revealed himself to us in Jesus. And our both, so I'll speak to two groups of people, you know, those who lead. Our job is to make sure that our music isn't a distraction to people from that. That our music doesn't get in the way. It doesn't rob glory from Jesus. That we're not seeking to draw more attention to ourselves than we are to the one we're there to worship. So, you know, I avoid doing that by not doing long instrumental solos and making sure that I don't overplay, making sure the band's not too loud, choosing songs that have that right balance of objective truth and subjective response, you know, those kinds of things. As a singer, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, as someone in the congregation, my role is to not focus so much on how the music makes me feel, as how these truths, what these truths mean to me, how Amen. These truths make me feel. You know, we sing, if I could sum up the purpose of singing in the church, it would be God's intention that we feel the truth. We are meant to respond emotionally. God made us that way. Music moves our emotions, but they have to be in response to the truth and not the sound of the organ or the guitar or the piano or the drums. Because the truth that we have, and the fact that Jesus became a man, lived a perfect life, died a substitutionary death for us, for our sins, to pay for our sins, and then rose from the dead, and that he's ascended to his Father's right hand, interceding for us now, and is coming one day to return for his bride, that is the greatest news that we can sing about. And that's what we want to focus on whenever we're singing with God's people.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for being such an excellent guest today, Bob. And I want to make sure, I want to make sure that our listeners are reminded about how they can get in contact with your ministry. If anybody wants to find out more about Sovereign Grace Music, go to sovereigngracemusic.org, sovereigngracemusic.org. And once again, don't forget that Sovereign Grace Music, along with the Photo Sisters, will be providing the worship music at the G3 conference this September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia, where over 20 very profound and powerful and gifted speakers are on the roster to preach and proclaim the glorious gospel of sovereign grace and to exalt Christ who is supreme over all. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com for more details. That's September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia. God bless you, Bob. I look forward to having you back on the show in the near future.
Thank you so much, Chris.
God bless. And don't go away, folks, because we are heading into our midway break right now. And the midway break, be patient with us, please, because it's the longer than normal break in the show. Because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show. Because the FCC requires of them localizing geographically this and all of their programs to Lake City, Florida. So they do so by airing their own public service announcements and other things while we simultaneously are airing our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can from as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And of course, hopefully that will at times mean purchasing their products, using their services, visiting their churches, and supporting their parachurch organizations. But sometimes it will just mean responding to them and thanking them for sponsoring this program. That will go a long way to keep our advertisers happy, to know that people really do value how they're spending their money on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you really do love the show and you do thank our advertisers for making the show possible, please thank them by contacting them at the contact information that they provide. And also send in questions for our guests, the Photo Sisters, who are going to be our guests the second hour of the program, also providing music at the G3 conference this fall. Send in a question to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We're going to be right back after these messages, so don't go away.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to Him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in His infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of His design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in His design. Thank you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, You can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget, folks, how valuable, how vital solid-ground-books.com is to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Without their continued advertising and the finances that comes from that, we would likely have to cease airing this program, barring a financial miracle from God. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by buying books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping a very important advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest in Christian and Reformed literature, dating all the way back to the Protestant Reformation and all the way into the present day, including by such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com frequently and purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we just have a few announcements before we are joined by the Photo Sisters, who are our guests during the second hour of this program. First of all, you've been hearing the ads for the upcoming G3 conference, where I will be manning an exhibitor's booth in Atlanta, Georgia, September 30th through October 2nd. Also, folks, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. You can also, if you prefer snail mail, you can mail in a check to the physical address that will appear on your screen also when you click support at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. Also, if you want to advertise with us, feel free to send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we certainly could use your advertising dollars. And as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you get that ad campaign running as quickly as possible. Remember, folks, I do not want my listeners siphoning money away from their regular giving to their own local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never do that. In other words, never punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. Also, don't place yourself and your family in serious financial peril and jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpened Zion Radio if you are really struggling to survive. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for church and providing for family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture, but I'm urging you, if you do love this show and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, you have extra money in the bank collecting interest, you have extra money for recreational purposes and trivial matters, well, please use some of that to help us remain in existence if you do love the show. We are in urgent need of your financial help because of the hysteria associated with the coronavirus pandemic has hurt many people in our audience financially, and therefore the giving has gone down. So please help us replenish that which was lost by giving. If you've already been giving, prayerfully consider giving more than you've given before. And if you've never given before, please prayerfully consider giving for the first time. And again, as long as you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I have lists, extensive lists of biblically faithful, theologically sound churches all over the planet Earth, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where you live on the globe. I've helped many people in our audience in all parts of the world find churches, sometimes within a few minutes of where they live. So I'll help you if you send me your email. I'll help you the best as I can. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, I need a church in the subject line. And that's also the email address to send in a question for the Photo Sisters, who are our guests during the second hour of the program today. The Photo Sisters are going to be, as I've been mentioning during the first half of this program, they are going to be joining Sovereign Grace Music by providing music at the G3 conference coming up in Atlanta, Georgia, September 30th through October 2nd. And I am so looking forward to that conference, and I'm looking forward to hearing the God-glorifying music of Sovereign Grace Music and Katie and Galen Photo. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome Katie and Galen to Iron Sharpened Zion Radio for the very first time. Greetings, sisters.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having us this afternoon.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And what we like to do on this program, if you heard during the first hour, whenever we have first-time guests on the program, we have them give a summary of their salvation story, beginning with what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, they were raised in, and what kind of providential circumstances our Sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And Katie, why don't we start with you, and if you could give us a summary of your salvation testimony.
Absolutely. That's a great question. I love that y'all do that. So I would say, for me, I prayed the prayer when I was very young, and after that, for about 10 years, I constantly doubted my salvation, going back and forth, realizing and thinking in my heart, I understand the gospel more now than I did last time I prayed, so maybe I wasn't a believer last time. So it was constant back and forth for me, struggling with assurance, until, honestly, the transformation and just the work that God did in our family's life of bringing us to the realization of the doctrines of grace. And it was at that point, understanding my total depravity, and that it is God who calls us. It's not the actual prayer that saves. And it was at that, it's upon realizing that truth, and that I would never be able to pray the prayer perfectly, and that I would always be on a journey of understanding the gospel and who I am as a sinner, is a constant growing thing. And I guess I was about 20 years old. I'm 26 now. I guess it was about 20 years old that I realized that and understood that more fully. So the actual time that God Save Me is a little questionable, but I know by the age of 20, I had no more doubts.
You know, a lot of people tell me that my salvation is a bit questionable, too. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So I don't know if any of that made sense, but it's been a journey. And our family hasn't always been of the Reformed faith. But I would say once he, I guess, to use the jargon, predestined us for that, it has been life-changing. And, yes, I'm a different person because of it, understanding who I am in Christ, but who I am before Christ, or who I was.
Amen. And if you could, Galen, give us your story.
Yes, absolutely. I think our stories will probably be similar because, of course, we were raised in the same home, which was a very, thankful to say, Christ-centered, godly home. They were first generation Christians, though. Our parents, both of them, were raised in very godless situations. Once they were saved, they went to an Assemblies of God church, a Methodist church. They kind of hopped around, but we were all born in a more independent, fundamental Baptist church, which God used greatly in our lives, but I think it did put a lot of emphasis, as Katie said, kind of on once you say the prayer, once you're baptized, that's it. And I think it caused so much doubt because you continue to see the sin in your life and you feel like, can a believer really continue in this way and commit these sins and think these thoughts? And so I prayed that prayer, kind of like what they say, walk down the aisle at eight years old. And, you know, I always struggled with it because my two older sisters at this point, I knew they were believers and I'm the youngest and I was the only one that wasn't. So you kind of feel like, oh, goodness, I think I need to commit my life to the Lord because my sisters both have and I'm the only black sheep here, you know. And so then I always struggled with that because it's like, well, I didn't do it for the right reasons, and I've already been baptized, and was I really even a believer once I was baptized? And that was quite a struggle for a while. But just as Katie said, I guess coming to the realization that the work is not our own, I mean, it's all completely the work of the Holy Spirit. And once you realize that and are able to look back at the fruit that you see that he has produced in your life, you realize that how arrogant of me is it to doubt the work that God has done. If I truly know that I have believed, I've repented of sin, then I have to believe in that work and trust that this is all part of the sanctification process. So, yeah, I'm sorry our stories aren't very drastically different from each other, but that's kind of it in a nutshell.
And how old were you when you were saved?
8 years old.
Oh, wow. And how old are you now?
I'm 24.
Praise God. And in fact, I believe, I don't know if you are familiar with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
We love his teaching every year.
Yeah, he's going to be at the G3 conference, but I believe he was 8 or younger when he is convinced with certainty he was saved, and he got
baptized.
He got baptized not long after that, which is a rarity in Reformed Baptist circles. Usually mm-hmm. when you see a young person in the baptismal font, they're usually in their teens at least.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very young, and of course, he's a genius and was probably infinitely more intelligent than I am now at 59 years of old when he was 8. So,
I definitely know he's more intelligent than both of us combined over here. He's one of our favorites every year at G3.
That's great. Well, how did you first get in touch, or should I say, how did Josh Bice first get in touch with you and invite you to sing for the G3 conference?
That's a great question. I think you were right with the first order of saying, how did we get in touch with Josh? We had several people in our church, First Baptist Clinton, Louisiana, that went to G3 regularly, and they would come back year after year just
singing his praises.
Yeah, singing his praises, raving about it, and telling us, you really should go. And so we were just interested in going to the conference as it was, mm-hmm. and then I think somehow there were a couple of connections, and our dad reached out to Josh Bice.
Josh
just more to say, hey, if you're needing any music help, we'll be at the conference more type of deal. And so we ended up just playing a couple songs that first year and then have been back ever since. Yeah. And we love it. It really, G3 is an annual highlight for us. And we count down the days. As soon as the conference is over, we start the 365 or whatever it is, day countdown after that.
Now, you said First Baptist Church of Clinton, Louisiana. Is that where Fred Malone is the pastor?
It is. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's so cool. What a small world.
Yeah, I have interviewed Fred a couple of times, I think. And
we love Brother Fred and also Tom Hicks and Mitch Axum. Those are our three elders. And just love all of them so much.
Yeah, his book on baptism is an absolute classic. I urge everyone, whether you're a Baptist or a Paedo-Baptist, to get that book, because even if you're a Paedo-Baptist, you'll at least see the biblical argumentation that that Reformed Baptists use. For our belief in credo baptism, which is basically baptism of believers alone. And I even loved, before he even wrote that book, his booklet that became his book, A String of Pearls Unstrung. That was the precursor to his book. And I'm really drawing a blank as far as the title of his current book, the very massive book that he did. But I'm sure that one of my listeners will remind me if you don't know.
You would think I could be able to help remind you too.
I'm afraid we're going blank as well. we are very honored and just feel so blessed to be able to be members of First Baptist Clinton, and we lived. Here for about 12, or no, it's probably about 10 years. We lived in Clinton, Louisiana, and passed that church multiple times and didn't start going to it until the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm. And just the shepherding there and the care over your soul is incredible.
We wish we would have 10 years prior been going to this, but God brought us on a journey 6 years ago, and so that's how we're there now.
Yes, and just as I said, a listener, BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, let me know that the title of the book is, of course, The Baptism of Disciples Alone.
Yes.
That is the book, and the subtitle is A Covenantal Argument for Credo Baptism versus Paedo Baptism. I urge everybody listening to get a hold of that book, and you can get it at cvbbs.com. Yes, I do shamelessly plug my advertisers, but Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, you can get a hold of that book by Fred Malone. Now, how did you both, or when did you both, growing up, discover that you had this amazing talent to sing? And I haven't even asked you yet if you perform the instruments in your music as well, but how did you discover this musical ability?
Well, it kind of took us by surprise, I guess, because we were home educated, and Mom and Dad, they are not musical. I can tell they could have been, but they did not pursue it when they were young. So as part of our homeschool education, they put us in soccer, ballet, and then a music class that just kind of fell at our doorstep. They didn't even pursue it. So we joined. Soccer fizzled out. We were a bit emotional on the soccer field, and then ballet also fizzled out. But piano, Mom describes it as she had to actually tell us to stop practicing because we would literally just keep going and going for hours. and so that just kind of started to domino, and then some dear friends of ours that we were like our role models, they were playing violin, and so we wanted to play violin because anything to be like them was what our goal was. And Like, even one of them broke her toe, and so we wanted to break our toe because it was, you know, so cool.
So cool.
I'm glad we didn't break our toes. but so we all started violin, so now we were all doing piano and violin. And our teacher at the time we were taking from really emphasized us playing together. So then we started learning a lot of songs that we could all play together at the same time. And then at that point, our dad was working at the leprosy hospital here in Louisiana. And that's where he spent his whole career. And so we would go and play for the leprosy patients there.
Wow, there's actually a leprosy hospital in the United States.
There is a leprosy colony, yeah.
There's
a colony? Really?
United States. And one is in Molokai, Hawaii, and the other one is here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Wow.
And both are government-run, but leprosy does have a cure now, and so it's been retitled Hansen's disease after the doctor, Dr. Hansen, who discovered the cure for it. Because leprosy just kind of has a stigma. People still kind of freak out when they hear it, so mm-hmm. they've kind of renamed it Hansen's disease.
Yeah.
But so we would play, go and play for the patients there, and then our mom really had a heart for just the older generation. So she would take us to nursing homes all the time, and I guess it was at that point they really started just reminding us that it's never too late to share the gospel of Christ, or never too young mm-hmm. to share the gospel.
Of all the ailments for someone to have, what a biblical problem. To bring the gospel to someone with that malady.
Yeah. So at that point, everything just began to domino, and someone would maybe be at the nursing home visiting their parent, and they would hear us play, and then they would invite us to come do something, and other opportunities and doors would open. And then Galen started playing the cello. And so then we kind of branched off into some other instruments, and all our teachers were also involving us in different competitions and youth orchestra events. And
we were trained classically, mm-hmm. like we took from all classical teachers and trained in the whole symphony side of things. But our heart all along was really to minister through music that had lyrics uh-huh. to it. And so then we eventually started singing kind of after we had done the instruments for a while. So singing is the most recent thing for us, but it's kind of where our heart is.
Yeah. You know, we love classical, and it's great for technique, but like Galen said, there's nothing like a song with theology that speaks directly to the soul. Because a song sticks with you forever, even when it comes to scripture memory. I know for me personally, I have trouble remembering a lot of passages that I've memorized, but if it's put to song, it'll stick, and it sticks forever. And so our true heart is in doctrinally sound songs that preach the gospel and encourage fellow believers.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, I'm sorry, you could continue what you were saying. I interrupted you there.
No, you're good. I was just adding to encourage believers to run the race and to be faithful to their calling.
Amen. Well, I want to play the first song by you two. And I understand that you used to be you three, and one of your sisters got married.
She did, yeah.
And now you're you two. Not the group, you two. The first song that I intend to play is Sovereign Ruler of the Skies. Could you give us any background information before I play that song?
Oh, sure. I was actually back in January of 2020. We were kind of going through a huge transition. As you mentioned, our oldest sister had just gotten married because she used to do this whole thing with us. And she was leaving the group because she had twin boys on the way and knew she would have her hands full. And so we were kind of going through this big transition of whether or not we should continue going. And Both Katie and I kind of felt like the Lord placed just heavily on our hearts the message of Christ holding us fast and Him keeping us to the end. So basically, in our minds, perseverance of the saints was kind of what was on our hearts. And at that point, we started looking for songs that kind of had that theme, really encompassed what we were looking for.
To get back in the studio and record a new album.
Right. And so then we're picking songs, and then March of 2020 hits, and of course we all know what happened there for a while. And so it really gave us time to just sit and pray more about, okay, Lord, specifically, even more specific, what are these songs? And we were scrolling Facebook one day, and we came across this lyric our pastor posted, and it was of an old hymn written back in 1777. By Matt Ryland.
Or John Ryland.
John Ryland, yes. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we heard it, it was kind of like, that's it, we have to do something with that one. And it was the lyrics to Sovereign Ruler. So we took it and adjusted some of the lyrics to make them a little bit more singable and added a tune, added a chorus. And it has just kind of been one of our favorites every day since. So that's the short of the backstory to Sovereign Ruler.
Amen. And here it is, folks, Sovereign Ruler of the Skies by the Photo Sisters.
Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in your hand, all events at your command. His decree who formed the earth, fixed my first and second birth. Now my life to Him I owe. Where He leads me, I will go. Ever faithful, ever true, keep my heart to only You. Since I cannot part from Thee, Sovereign forever be. Fate and death around me fly, till He bids I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love thinks fit. Times the tempter's power to prove, to taste a Savior's love, all must come and last live. As shall please my heavenly friend, ever faithful, ever true, keep my heart to only You. Since I cannot part from Thee, Sovereign be. He that for me in the womb, He shall guide me to the tomb. All my time shall ever be ordered by His wife. Part from Thee, so
Praise God. What a beautiful song. And we are going to hear more from the Photo Sisters, and hopefully you have time to play at least two more songs before the end of the program. We're going to our final break right now. If you do have a question for the Photo Sisters, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with the Photo Sisters after these messages from our sponsors.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme Christ is supreme over all. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vodi Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Fellowshipping with the family.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym, where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls, where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. 5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and we are interviewing the Photo Sisters, who are going to be providing some of the music at the G3 conference, where I will be manning an exhibitor's booth once again in Atlanta, Georgia, September 30th through October 2nd. And we are going to play a song, that one of the songs that your father specifically selected for us to play. If you could set us up with some information behind the instrumental that your dad wanted us to play called Solid Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was arranged by a dear friend and producer of ours, David Molina. He composed all of those, and I guess just a little technical behind it, each of us stacked three times. So Galen played three different cello parts, and then I played three different violin parts. But along the theme of our most recent album called Faithful, just being the theme of Christ holding us fast, we realized how fitting the Solid Rock was to that message that we wanted to share through the songs. And so people already know the general lyric of it, and so we realized we could just keep it instrumental and let people enjoy it that way. But I think especially part of the third verse is what stood out to us and made us decide it, because it says, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. And so the Solid Rock was an immediate for us, and we knew it needed to go on the new album.
And here it is, Solid Rock. Hallelujah. What a beautiful song, as all of these songs have been. And I just want to let you know that we have been getting emails from listeners who have no questions. They just want to praise God for the gifts that you have been given.
And wow, that's encouraging.
And they want you to know we have Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, and Aaron in Indianapolis, Indiana. Excuse me. And Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, and CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, and Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, all of them have been sending in praise to our God because of the music they are hearing. And
praise the Lord. Yeah, that is the only place the praise can go to.
Yes. We do have time for one question before we play our final song of the day. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, there are churches that hire musicians and singers that are not even regenerate. Mm-hmm. to sing and perform, and I am purposely using the term perform instead of worship. What is your opinion on unregenerate people being invited to a church or even being hired by a church to sing and perform music to the congregation?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is an amazing question.
Wow, and I know that you had Bob Coughlin on earlier.
I
feel like he would be better equipped to answer something like that since he's written so much on that topic. Yeah. We've had many family discussions, believe it or not, on that, because we have been in many situations where we are playing alongside of non-believers at a church or a Sunday morning service.
And I think personally, I just don't see any way around it being a wrong situation, because, I mean, if we're really boiling it down, what we're doing in worship, or what should be, is lifting up the beauty and glory of Christ. So if an unbeliever, which we know an unbeliever cannot do that, so I do think it taints the purity of worship when that is involved. I know many people kind of say the excuse of, well, use it as a chance to minister to those people. And we've even talked to people personally where they had a story where that was used kind of in the conversion of someone's life. And you know, the Lord uses whatever means it takes to bring those to himself. But
if you look at the, you know, the truest definition of what a Sunday morning church service is, it's the worship of the believers. It's not, God can use it to bring others to himself through the preaching of the word and the gospel and music that contains the gospel, but the purpose being for the edification of the body. And how can that happen if unbelievers are being used to attempt to edify believers?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was kind of a mouthful, but I believe personally, and I would love to hear other people's thoughts on the matter, but a Sunday morning worship should be led by believers.
Yeah.
Amen. So glad that you gave that answer. Well, we we're out of time, unfortunately, but we're going to close with your song that is titled "He Will Hold Me Fast," and I want to make sure, first of all, that I give your website for any of our listeners who want to order your music, photosisters.com, that's photosisters.com, and don't forget about the G3 conference this fall, where they will be providing worship music along with Sovereign Grace Music, g3conference.com, g3conference.com, that's September 30th through October 2nd. Do you want to give us any information about He Will Hold Me Fast?
Sure. I mean, at the beginning of our brainstorming process for our most recent album, that was a must.
That was the only song that we knew was going on there. Like, we didn't know the four others, but that was, like, the only one from the outset. We were like, no matter what happened, this one is on there.
Yeah.
So that's basically the gist of it.
And I think the very title of that song is what the entire album is wrapped around.
Yes.
He, Christ, will hold us fast. And over does that song bring me to tears because it's just such a wonderful truth, and we love it so much.
Praise God. And since this is the final song of the day, is this the photo finish?
I've never heard that one before.
All right. Here it is. He Will Hold Me Fast. And thanks for listening, everybody. And I hope you always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner. And if the Photo Sisters could hold on the line, because I'd like to give you a proper goodbye over the phone after this.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back with you. Here it is. He Will Hold Me Fast.
Prevail, He will hold.
I lose.